Okay, up next, we'll take your phone calls. David Wilcock, our special guest, back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, David Wilcock, our guest. David, before we go to these vast calls we've got rolling in for you, you've talked about the music CD that you're working on. Any more other print work that you're working on?
I have a 2012 book, which is in progress, and it's going to summarize a lot of the scientific information that I've been putting together on this subject. That should be coming out hopefully this year. It really is just a question of sitting down and doing it. I'm also working on another free video like 2012 Enigma. I'm not sure of the title yet, but I've actually assembled a volunteer visual effects team of 3D animators, and we're going to take a lot of the stuff that I've discovered scientifically and make a really, really slick video. Because, you know, Zeitgeist, the movie, is one example, is consistently in the top five most viewed on Google every day.
Yep.
And so content is king, and if you have good production value, you can really make a shakeup in the world consciousness. That's what we're trying to do here.
All right, to the phones we go. Let us go west of the Rockies in Tacoma, Washington. Coralie, hi.
Hello there. This has been a fascinating evening.
Indeed, yeah.
David
something. Go ahead.
Yes, Coralie.
Okay. Have you ever been hypnotized? Like, you know, Edgar used to go into hypnotic.
All right, past life regression, I guess. Huh?
Correct. And, or, you know, just to get information. Like, he would go into trance and then he would have somebody write down everything that he was coming to him.
Okay.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah, there was a man who was running the ARE group in New York. His name is Skip Weatherford, and he's a hypnotherapist by trade, and he did hypnotize me, and some very wild things happened when he did, including the fact that when my hands touched my crystals, this bolt of electricity shot out of the wall. It was about 5 inches long, and when we actually did the channel, what turned into a channeling, basically, is I started to speak on behalf of my higher self. Because he was already telepathic and psychic himself, he was able to actually have a telepathic dialogue with my source where he was asking questions without speaking them out loud and getting them answered. And he said it's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to him. So
wow.
The answer is yes, yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, next up, first-time caller. Let's go to Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Hello, Julia.
Hello. How are you tonight?
Good. We're great. Thanks.
I'm 75, yes, literally, from every place.
We can barely hear you, Julia. You sound like you're in a tin can.
Well, I have a cold. Can you hear me?
A little bit better. Go ahead with your question, then I'll put you on hold so you can hear the answer.
Yes, sir. Do you not literally have Mr. Casey's birthday? I know you said your chart is very similar, but not his birthday, right?
Not the exact day of birth, no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
How close, David?
I think he's like the 18th, so it's 10 days away.
Well, that's pretty close.
Yeah. But it's really what you have to look at is like the position of the moon and the planets, and it's my birthday is as close as you can possibly get to his.
But are you psychic? I mean, you pick up some things. I mean, you're pretty intuitive.
Well, people seem to think that I have this sort of online Google access to unlimited intelligence in my waking self. That's not really true. When I used to do readings for people, which I'll preempt some of the calls that are going to happen here by saying I retired from that in 2005 and they are not available anymore. But when I was doing readings, I had 500 clients. They would have a reading on a given day, and that morning I would dream for them. So that was one level of data that was outside my conscious mind. The dream would have stunning connections to their life. I would tell them the dream when they first called me, and we would always find amazing stuff. And then what I have to do is induce a trance state, which takes about 3 or 4 minutes to do, and it's a form of self-hypnosis that I run on myself. And then I go into a state where my mind kind of harmonizes with my higher self, and I'm very, very conscious of what's happening while it's happening, and I try to get out of the way and just let it happen. But then when it's over, you have to work really hard to remember anything that happened. It's like waking up out of a dream. So in that sense, there are ways in which I can access information where I'm much more intuitive than I am normally. I do have a healthy psychic ability in my waking life, but it's relatively sporadic and unpredictable. I'll just get things on people, and they can be accurate, but if you really want to actually get information, you have to do the work and go into the right state of consciousness to bring it in.
All right, next up, let's go to our international line. We've got Gene in Alberta, Canada. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah.
David, it seems like the Illuminati and Bilderberg Group, I guess, these people have been in business for quite some time. Excuse me, I have a cold. They seem to have, are they connected with some dark aliens that might assist them?
Oh, absolutely. What we are dealing with as far as the New World Order and the Illuminati are concerned is a planetary control which is being directed by intelligences that are not Earth-born. So that is essentially when you get to the higher levels of the cover-up and the highest levels of the Illuminati, they are working with something that some people call the Hidden Directorate. And, you know, most of the people in the galaxy are positive, but there's a small number of people out there who are on the negative path. You can get all the way up to the fifth dimensional frequency, or the fifth density, as it's called, and still be negative. When you get to sixth density, you very quickly have to go positive. But there are 4D and 5D negative beings, and they've built up a great set of tools to be able to take control of planets. But here's the really important distinction. I had a very powerful dream again about this just 3 weeks ago. The only way that these negative beings can do what they do and have it succeed for them, in other words, generate spiritual evolution for them, is if they can enslave people by their own free will so that the people are aware that they are being enslaved and they still choose the enslavement. The reason why the Illuminati agenda is falling apart left and right on this planet, why they're not able to do any of the things they want to do, they're not herding people off into detainment camps, there's all sorts of paranoid stuff out there which never actually comes true. Everybody thinks, oh, but it hasn't come true yet. Well, come on, we've been hearing this stuff for 20 years. It never happened. So the point is, there's not enough people to hold the guns on Earth to support the agenda of these guys. America is a highly armed country, so even if they tried, they would go up against very stiff resistance. So the point is that we as a planet are rejecting and have rejected the enslavement that's being offered to us, and therefore you are witnessing, and it will get much more dramatic in the near future, the complete decay and falling apart of this Illuminati agenda, which I find very exciting.
And maybe about time, right?
It is totally time. It's no longer even a secret. I mean, the new Da Vinci Code movie is going to be all about the Illuminati, and that's the big word that they put on the screen. Now, that movie is going to try to tell you that the Illuminati are the good guys, because I read that book, Angels and Demons, and it's all like this spin control thing to try to make like the shiny, happy Walmart version of the Illuminati or something. But, you know, the fact is that these guys, some of them are good people, some of them are very negative. And I do not agree with what they are doing with this planet. Therefore, I don't have a problem talking about them and exposing the agenda because I don't support the agenda. I don't support genocide. I don't support depopulation. I don't believe that the way that we teach people to spiritually grow is by oppressing and enslaving them. And so I have philosophical differences with them. Now, on some levels, we think alike. They do have a spiritual philosophy, which is essentially trying to transcend religion. I also think religion has been an accessory in which people worship the way that individual guys try to access the Creator and make it as if that's the only way. I don't think any of us should ever have our fingers pointing and saying, this is the way to go, and if you don't follow this, then you're going to hell. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking, but let's have...
Well, but that's also one of the biggest problems, I think, on this planet, is people don't listen, David, to other people. Instead, they completely negate their views And it's one of the things I love about this program is so many different people come on with different views. For example, 2012, but at least they get to put them on.
Well, yeah, and George, I want to just thank you for the undying amount of work that you do on behalf of humanity. It's a very valiant service. You're up there night after night on the air, and you're doing a great job, and there's a lot of people rooting for you. I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Let's go to Nancy in Florence, New Jersey. You're on with David Wilcock. Hi, Nance.
Hi. Hi, George. Hi, David. Hey. I have a really good feeling about you, David.
Well, thank you.
But my question is this. I've followed the Bible for 31 years, and I've been a Christian, and just trying to figure out how this all fits in with Revelation and all the things that are pre-told in Revelation that's
sure.
to happen and what's going on in Israel right now. And then my other question is, what about all the people that have died previous to the 2012 event?
Okay, I'll answer your question by answering the second question first because it's a lot easier to answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Nancy. Second question about what happens to people who have already died, the answer is this. When you are in between lifetimes, you do exist in the astral plane. As of 2012, there is going to be a very profound hyperdimensional merging of the astral plane with the physical reality that we now live in. This is unprecedented. It's changing the basic energy frequency of matter as we know it. However, prior to this point where everything blends together, and this is just my understanding, there's no way to prove that, but prior to this point where everything blends together, if you are in the astral plane, in the afterlife, you're basically just waiting for 2012 like everybody else is. It's just that you're waiting for it on the other side, and then those two sides are going to blend together once this event happens. Getting back to your first question, that's a very far-reaching subject. Obviously, I don't have time to go into a whole lot of detail. All I can say is I do support the idea of a historical Jesus. I do support the idea that this historical Jesus did go through an ascension process. And, in fact, there's extensive information to support the idea that he completed his own spiritual initiation using the Great Pyramid. The Edgar Cayce readings did support the special books that were written. I forget what it's called off the top of my head. The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ is what it's called, in which it says in this channeled book that Jesus basically, in his three missing years, that he went to India and then he went to Egypt and he basically fulfilled his initiation in the Great Pyramid and used that technology to get his full miracle abilities online, which, again, anybody could do if they used the pyramid, and they had and they succeeded. So insofar as your question relates to Revelation, I would just point you in the direction of the fact that there are multiple books in the Bible, not just Revelation, that talk about this, including Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. And there is a fairly consistent line of prophecy, even in the book of Revelation itself. You have to understand that there is a very clear juxtaposition being given between Babylon and the New Jerusalem, between the whore of Babylon and the Virgin Mary. The book of Revelation is a metaphorical, encoded teaching, which has multiple levels of symbolism and meaning. The Cayce reading said it contains the full nature of our progress through all of the chakras, which is our spiritual evolution, back into full awakening with God consciousness, or the Creator. So what I'm trying to say is that there are some very fascinating prophecies in Revelation that have come true. When they talk about locusts with the heads of men, and that they sting the earth and the stingers hurt men for 7 months. That appears to be a primitive description of jet airplanes in which the people's head inside the jet is what John was seeing. And he calls them locusts because he didn't know what an airplane was, obviously, so he gave it a very simple description. So there does appear to be prophecy information there. Everybody gets hung up on all the earth changes and the doom and gloom and catastrophe. What my source and other sources have been saying is that we're already seeing the worst of it now. There is going to be some kind of pole shift on the earth. Don't get me wrong. But human beings, as we now know them, won't be here when it happens. It's only very recently that I figured out that maybe some people will actually stick around And it appears the only ones who do and stay in the energy frequency that the Earth is now are like your Illuminati types and your New World Order types who are hanging out in underground bases. And they're the ones that end up kind of having to stay with the Earth in the cataclysms. But everyone else, even people who are not positive but are just confused, almost everybody on the planet goes into this new energy condition, which is already basically like an ascension as it is. This is my understanding, and you can take it or leave it. I'm not trying to force this on anybody. I'm just saying this is what I've been told. So there you have it.
David, this fast blast in from Bill in Wichita, this is because I've talked about this on the show before.
Okay.
He says, is it true that Tom and George stiffed you on a lunch bill back in Santa Clara several years ago?
Yep. That is true.
I think we just forgot to pick it up or something and walked out on you.
Well, we still haven't had that lunch, but sometime we will, you guys.
I think we'll blame Tom for this one. Let's go to Larry in Tampa, Florida. You're on with us. Hey, Larry.
Hey, George. Hey.
How are you?
I got a question. The guest, Dave, was talking earlier about the electromagnetic energy from the welding on the ship that caused the black hole and stuff.
Correct.
What's going to happen when the electromagnetic energy gets wound up when they kick on that Hadron Collider over in CERN?
Well, Henry Deacon has worked on things like this before. It is a valid question. However, my understanding is that the amount of energy that's being concentrated into a very small area is still not as high as the amount of actual amperage and voltage flux that was going through this high-intensity arc welding.
Oh, okay.
Another thing that's important to remember is that you know, there's all these doom and gloom things that have come out about, oh, if they let CERN happen, then it's going to create this wormhole and it's going to spread and it's going to engulf the Earth and the solar system and destroy the galaxy. And that's not true at all. The universe has a very amazing capacity to correct rips in the fabric of space and time. So they stay relatively contained. And in fact, one of the other things that I haven't said in this show, it's a very important point, is that the extraterrestrial beings have very, very highly advanced technology, and they have been doing their job for many, many years to protect us from all sorts of potential catastrophes that could have happened, including nuclear exchange. Multiple witnesses have said that they have deactivated nuclear missiles, even while they're in flight. They've actually zapped them, and they've become inert.
That's amazing. Hey, we'll be back with final phone calls with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, astrologer Michael St. Clair joins us, discussing visions of the future, including time travel, John Teeter, gold as currency, and other Earth changes as well. So make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. David Wilcock with us. We'll take your final calls as well. David, when you do your research, and you do extensive research, where do you go to start? Is it the internet? Well, I mean, you go into areas that not a lot of people go.
Well, one of the things you have to have is a great deal of patience, because I just continue to consume media on a daily basis. And sometimes you literally just have to wait for new things to show up. And, you know, on your website, coasttocoastam.com, you guys link to a lot of interesting science items. And so sometimes I go there and I look for things there, and there's other websites that bring out some of the stuff. So another thing that I try to do is use Google almost like divination. In other words, you have to always be open to immediately grabbing and using something when you find it, even if you didn't expect to find it. So I may be in the process of researching one topic on a search engine, and then when I read the article that I find, it tells me something else, and that triggers another wave of research that goes in a different direction. I used to print all this stuff out into books, and I actually have like a 9-foot-tall stack of books that I printed off the internet from the research I've done. And I stopped printing the books as of about 2005. I've probably generated that much or more since. But now what I do is I save all the links in my daily journal where I write my dreams down, so I can go back and find everything that way. But yeah, it's I've managed to put together an extraordinary amount of different pieces of information, and all I know is it's kind of like solving a maze by being at the end and then going back to the beginning, tracing your way back through. I have a pretty clear concept of where we are and what's going on, and when I find various pieces, I see how they fit. And sometimes, if a piece of data really blows me away, I will allow it to change my mind, and I will work it in. I don't just stay rigid. I try to be fluid because real science is going with the data. So that's what I try to do.
Are you going to be at the Conscious Life Expo in February this year?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep,
so
I got
we'll
like
see
four
there.
Or five different events there, so it's going to be like last year. Two panels.
Richard will be there. You'll be there. So many other people will be there as well, and I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And this time, maybe you can buy me lunch.
Unless I do my soft shuffle and go out the door.
That's
Let's
true.
Go to.
You got all those women coming after you, and you got to fend them off somehow. So
I am single, John. I am single. Let's go to New York. Thanks, David. John, you are on with us. Go ahead, John.
Hello, George. Hello, David.
Hi there,
David. Okay, you definitely have a very wild imagination. But if you were 20 or 30 years older, Gene Roddenberry would have loved you. He would have hired you in a second. But what I want to say to you is, if you really believe that aliens are actually among us at this time, people have to get physicals. To say to doctors, you got to get a blood test. How can I put this? Morticians, you have to be embalmed, you have to have... Sir, they would pick it up. The doctors don't work for the government. There would be red flags. People would just expose this immediately. Autopsies. Millions of autopsies a year. How come the doctors are not putting up the red flag and just showing what's going on here? Aliens actually walked among us.
Well, thank you for the question. I understand that from your perspective, you think that this may just be my imagination. I am working from the perspective of knowing that this stuff is true because of how intense all these witness testimonies have correlated with things that I'm not even sharing. Now, what I can tell you is that if I were to answer your question as truthfully as I'm capable of, I would be violating the security of some of these people who are on the planet. I do know more about this than I can talk about. But to answer your question up to the level of what I can say without getting in trouble and jeopardizing these people, I will say that there are some places where they are. They like to keep to themselves. They do have some doctors who are aware of what's going on. These generally are small towns. They have integrated with the people in these towns. Most people are not aware of who they are. They don't like being in groups. They don't even like having more than a one-on-one conversation. As I said before on the website, some of them require snap-in dentures to make their teeth look more like ours. They may have teeth that are wider than ours in some cases. Some of them require contact lenses. Some of them require foundational makeup to change the color of their skin to make it look a little more like us. Some of them have to wear wigs. Most of them have five fingers on their hands. Some have six. But I don't think the six-fingered people are here. This is not very many people. It's pretty brazen for people to actually walk among us who are not from Earth. So those numbers are not very high. It's much more likely that they would be existing in bases that are undersea or under the land, working in concert with our government, or off-planet. But there are a small group of them here. I certainly hope that if they were ever to be brought out into the open, that people would react in a non-racist or xenophobic way and be able to accept them, because we are ultimately all children of one creator. So that's about all I can say without getting myself in trouble.
Okay, thanks, David. And thank you, John. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies, Mitch in Phoenix. Hey, Mitch, go ahead.
Hey, man, I tell you, I listen to you religiously every single night. And I have listened to you since before you were on the air when I was on. And I just love your show, man.
Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate your support.
The information that the people receive from your program is one of a kind. And I wanted to share some with you. I have a degree in theology, and I've determined that the word Bible, if if you think about it, is a one-of-a-kind word that stands alone, that nothing else is even close to the spelling of it. And was wondering, I know you've probably heard this before, but do you know what the word Bible stands for?
No, I don't. How about you, David?
No, actually, I know that it means book. I mean, I think biblio is the root of the word, and it means book.
Well, if you think about it, B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one before. That's a good euphemism, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, all the different stories and so the examples that it gives in the Bible, it's pretty close. Listen, I'll leave it with you guys. I wanted to thank you for letting me on, and I wish you all the luck in the world, and I believe what you're saying, David, I really do. And I'm from an extremely small town, was raised as a kid in a very small town, and I believe what you just said is 100% true, and I'm not going to get into it with you. That's another story altogether, but I'm personally definitely a believer in them, and I want you guys to have a good year.
All right, Mitch, thanks.
Thank you very much, appreciate Mitch. That's a great little anecdote there. Appreciate it.
East of the Rockies, James in Twin Valley, Minnesota. You're on with David on Coast to Coast. Hey, James.
Hello. Pleasure speaking with you both, George and David. Sure. Just a couple of quick points. You made a statement about the African and Caucasian noses, which was wrong according to basic Darwinianism, but won't get into that very much because former caller made a point which actually got me curious. What exactly do you mean by when you say fourth and fifth dimensional beings? Is this according to string theory or D-brains or quantum physics? And going back to that, the CERN Hadron Collider will basically be duplicating collisions that will happen in every millisecond in our upper atmosphere. But back to the fifth dimensional beings, what exactly do you mean by that? Thanks.
Okay, that's a good question. Now, I want to just bear in mind here that there was a case where I was on an airplane flight going to a conference, and I sat next to a man who was a PhD quantum chromodynamics specialist whose degree was from MIT, and he was as knowledgeable as any quantum physicist is on these subjects, and he couldn't get his jaw off the floor because every single time he brought up some kind of scientific data to try to shoot me down, I had a response that he couldn't ignore. In fact, his own professor, Dr. Richard Feynman, conducted an experiment where he rotated a barrel in a vacuum and then stuck a little metal bar on a string inside the barrel. And because it's a vacuum, you're not supposed to have any movement of the bar because there's no air to move the energy between the barrel and the string.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, the bar does spin. And this, again, is just one of many, many points suggesting that our entire basis of quantum mechanics is fundamentally flawed because we have excluded the idea of a fluid-like substrate that matter, time, and space are emanating from. You kind of get it in Einstein's theory with the space-time fabric, but even that is relatively flawed. So what I'm trying to say here is that physical matter as we know it is actually what you could think of as a geometric frequency that precipitates out of this fluid-like ether, almost like rock candy forms when you stick a string in a solution of sugar water. The crystals form as a result of vibration. Now, the thing is, what our quantum physicists don't understand when you're looking at superstring theory is that there are, in fact, modular functions originally derived from the work of Srinivasa Ramayanan, who's an Indian physicist of the early 20th century. Nobody's been able to understand what he came up with, but they've kind of loosely taken his research, which he claims he channeled, by the way, from the goddess Namakal that came to him in dreams. They took these things and added on two extra dimensions for symmetry, and that's how you get your 10-dimensional or 11-dimensional systems. But the actual modular functions themselves are all based on 8, and the Casey readings, as well as the Law of One material and my readings, all say that the universe is fundamentally based on vibration, and it's an octave, which is the number 8. So you have 8 dimensions, 8 frequencies, which is what all the superstring math is based on. And what we're being told by these ETs is that each of these dimensions represent frequencies in which the matter that we now see can be up-leveled to that higher frequency. It's no longer visible to us here, but it becomes visible up there. And these are sustainable planes of existence. They're not down at the Planck's constant level of size. They actually are planes that coexist with our own that you can live in. So that's a very short answer to some definite geek speak I could go into on quantum mechanics, but we just don't have the time.
Okay, great. Let's go next to Virginia. We go Cornelius. Hey, Cornelius, go ahead.
Yes, this is Cornelius. I'm calling from Alexandria, Louisiana. And
sure thing.
I was watching the History Channel, and they had a special on Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce tonight. They're going to have Armageddon Week all next week. And I was just wondering if you're going to participate on there, and I wanted to say y'all have a happy new year and everything, and today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Cornelius.
Happy birthday, Cornelius. It's funny, but I don't know if Richard wants me to say this out loud, but he's talked about this thing that he calls the Internet ghetto, and we're trying to break out of the Internet ghetto, and that basically means can we get mainstream enough that people are actually talking about it outside of just, you know, well, yeah, this is that spooky show that you hear on night on AM radio. You know, it's like we're trying to get these things out into the open. So far, the mainstream media has not given me that platform, which is, again, why I want to applaud George and Tom Danheiser and Lisa Line and the wonderful staff here for giving us many people that have so much to share this platform. It's a wonderful thing. So, I have yet to break into television, but there's some signs on the horizon that that's happening, which I can't really talk about. It may be this year, probably no doubt by next year once the movie comes out. But I'm not really attached to that. You know, it doesn't matter how people get the information. The point is that they get it. And the traditional media is kind of becoming a third wheel anyway because of the Internet. So I'm not worried about it.
Absolutely. Next up, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Omaha now. First-time caller. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks.
Well, good to hear. Just wanted to say you guys have both changed my life in the best way possible, first off. So
I appreciate that.
And the question was, in your research you've done, has anxiety, epidemic, bipolar, and just those things in general, panic attacks, has any of that linked up with any of your research?
Oh, absolutely. You have to understand that we are supposed to be scared. That is one stage of the awakening that you go through. That's what's happening. We have been living in a consensus reality, which is completely backwards from how things really work. And it's being enforced by people who desire to manipulate, enslave, and control us. So what's happening is we're going through a process in which now more than ever, I mean, almost everybody listening to this show, George, you're probably included in this, I'm included in this, we have gotten kicked in the crotch financially as a result of what happened to the economy in the last 6 months. I know I have. So everybody is having these things happen, and economics is probably the greatest source of anxiety that people go through. If you have a certain amount of money to pay your bills and then it's not there anymore, that's pretty terrifying. What I do want to point out is that before 2012, I think you're going to see a lot of things shifting in the direction of what will become much greater prosperity. The reason why we have so many economic problems now is nothing more than deeply institutionalized corporate and Illuminati greed in which money is being siphoned away. A natural economy keeps on growing. You don't have economic collapse. That's an artifact of the greed that has permeated the system. So even before 2012, we're in a field effect which is changing consciousness fundamentally, and it's leading to a grand awakening which is in progress now. So the anxiety that you're feeling can turn into a process where you turn within and discover that if it doesn't kill you, it only makes you stronger. You're still alive. Your needs are being provided for. The universe always finds a way to get you what you need. And the more that you can rely on that trust in your higher good, the more that your life will naturally reflect that back to you. And that's the greatest essence of spiritual truth right there. You create your own reality.
Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello there, Mary. You're on the air with us. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks.
Hey, I'm going to be there in February, by the way. You got to come by this event. That's going
to
be...
I know. I really, really, really want to.
Super.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I wanted to ask the Anunnaki to recognize them. I did hear that you said they had the red and black outfits, all right?
That's correct.
But would they kind of remind you of like a little tin soldier kind of outfit?
Yeah, sort of. I haven't actually been able to see a picture, and I haven't been able to work with Henry Deacon enough to get a sketch of what it looks like. But what I can tell you is, from what he's described it as, it kind of looks like battle armor that you'd see in a video game, except that it's very light and thin. It makes them look really kind of almost like something you'd see from a heavy metal concert or like some weird movie. Tin Soldier, you can kind of say that, yeah.
I would love to get you and Zahi Hawass and Zachariah Sitchin all in a room together, David.
Well, it's interesting because at Conscious Life Expo, I'm speaking directly after Sitchin in the same room, so that's going to be cool.
That's great. You know, He can't stay up too late on the program, but yeah, maybe we can do some kind of pre-recorded program with him.
You might be able to get him on. Are you going to be there for a panel or anything?
I'm sure I am. They're going to be using me quite extensively over the weekend.
Use your leverage and get him on that panel. That would be fantastic.
Sure would. David, thanks again. Good luck with everything you're doing. And as soon as you get the music, let me know how it turns out, okay?
Absolutely, George. I look forward to it.
All right, my friend. And I'm back. It's good to be back after a quick vacation. That's David Wilcock for Dave Caprita, Jason Bowers, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.